Mary's song, the Magnificat, the song of the angels' announcement to the shepherds, Simeon's song of praise in the temple, the Issues Etc. book of the month is titled The Songs of Christmas. This new arch book would make a great Christmas gift for children ages 2 through 10. The Songs of Christmas is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. A great stocking stuffer for young children or grandchildren, The Songs of Christmas. I think part of the reason that the church continues to celebrate Advent, and should, is because Advent in many ways represents the church here waiting, watching, anticipating, anxious for the return of Christ. Of course, the church has always been this way. Before Christ came the first time, the church of the Old Testament was waiting, watching, anxious, and anticipating his first coming. So we are no different than our Old Testament counterparts with respect to that, except that they sit on one side of his incarnation, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension, and we sit on the other side, but all of us together now await his second coming. And there's kind of an at-last quality to Advent. We know now it's coming. We know now it's near. At last, finally, the promises are all being kept. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Friday afternoon, the 7th of December. Dr. Arthur Just joins us for the first hour here to talk about the Advent hymn, Let the Earth Now Praise the Lord. Finally, at last, it is time for the promises to be kept. In the second hour of the program, we're going to talk about the free market, social justice, a moral case for a free market. Father Robert Sirico will join us of the Acton Institute and author of a new book, Defending the Free Market, The Moral Case for a Free Economy. And then, as usual on Friday afternoon, Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. We'll play 4 soundbites for you. You listen, and then you vote, and your votes will decide which will be the Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Dr. Arthur Just is a regular guest. He's professor of New Testament and chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the 2-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. Dr. Just, welcome back.
Wonderful to be with you in this great season of Advent.
Where in this hymn, Let the Earth Now Praise the Lord, do we see these themes of Advent most clearly?
Well, I think the opening that you gave concerning the Old Testament is a wonderful kind of prelude to really the best response to your question. One of the things about Advent is that there is a sense of expectation and longing to see the fulfillment of what has been promised. And one of the great ways in which the church has always prepared itself for Christmas is to rehearse, you know, what the prophecies were and what the Old Testament said was going to happen when the Messiah would come. And I think we don't probably realize how, at the time of Jesus, the expectations for the Messiah were very, very high. I mean, when Jesus came into Jerusalem, there was a tremendous amount of messianic fever and fervor. That they were really waiting and hoping and longing and looking, and the expectation for this to happen very soon was real. And I think that's how we feel in Advent, too. The days are dark, and we have a sense that things are kind of coming to an end, and we are longing for the light. We're longing for the opportunity to see that light dawn, to celebrate the birth of Christ. And this hymn is kind of an explosion of praise in light of the fulfillment of all those prophecies. And it's a absolutely kind of wonderfully subtle, but very appropriate to this season, what this hymn does to us. It accents the fact that the promises are there, and those promises have now been fulfilled.
What are the primary biblical roots for the hymn that we're going to be studying today?
Well, I think the number one, and this comes out of the Lutheran hymnal, and when you first hear it, you kind of ask yourself, is this in fact the reference? But it's from the Emmaus story, and it's that wonderful moment where, you know, after listening to the kind of the lament of the Emmaus disciples as they make their way on the road, and they make this beautiful confession about who they really think Jesus, you know, was to be, but they just don't believe it. You know, Jesus finally opens their eyes to understand the scriptures, and he tells them that, you know, the entire scriptures from beginning to end was that the Christ must suffer and enter into his glory. And the verse is that wonderful statement of Luke when he says, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I think that's in many ways one of the most poignant moments in the gospel. You know, to hear the evangelist tell us that everything in the Old Testament is about Jesus, and it's not just a matter of select passages here and there. The Old Testament is about Jesus. That's why it was written. That's why it's there. And Advent is the time for us to affirm that and say, yes, it is about Jesus, and that Jesus is born in Bethlehem. I mean, it is an amazing, you know, claim by the evangelist, because he's obviously just simply saying what Jesus said, that everything is about the death and resurrection of Jesus. The other passages you might want to refer to are some of the sermons in Acts, particularly in Acts 3 and Acts 13. And all those passages do is show, you know, that Peter and then later on, that the apostles are doing what Jesus said. They're going back into the Old Testament, and they're showing that the Christ must suffer and then enter into his glory.
Let's hear the first stanza of the hymn, Let the Earth Now Praise the Lord. Let the earth now praise the Lord, who hath truly kept his word, and the sinner's help and friend now at last to us doth send. Dr. Just, I mentioned before, and I think this is much on my mind during the season of Advent, there is that quality of at last. We have been waiting, and there's a certain kind of sanctified exasperation with waiting that I'm sure the Old Testament people felt in the course of their waiting so long for these promises that God reiterated over and over again to be kept. Talk about that.
I agree. And, you know, one of the things about it, and I think we don't always look at it this way, is that they had been given these promises, but the reality that they live in seems to go absolutely the other direction from the promises. I mean, the world that they see, you know, they have the promise, but it doesn't look like what was promised. And it must have been very difficult for them to kind of, you know, keep the faith and not drift away. There was, I'm sure, a malaise. And really what the prophets are really all about is helping people kind of, you know, hold fast to the promises in the face of the reality that they're experiencing. But this first verse just nails the whole issue here by saying that he has truly kept his word. I mean, that is the greatest gift that we could be given in the season of Advent, is to affirm this confession that Christ has kept his word. And, you know, I didn't realize how much this hymn was kind of about, you know, Luke's gospel. I mean, but that sinner's help and friend, Jesus came into the world to save sinners, you know, I mean, to seek and to save the lost. And it's the fact that the helper and friend of sinners has now been sent. And Advent affirms that. I mean, it affirms it to the point where all the earth should praise God because of that affirmation.
The second stanza of this great Advent hymn, Let the Earth Now Praise the Lord. What the fathers most desired, what the prophets' hearts inspired, what they longed for many a year, stands fulfilled in glory here.
What the fathers most desired,
Dr. Just with a few minutes before our break, what are we seeing in this second stanza?
Well, you see how the author is recognizing how the fathers of the faith in the Old Testament, and particularly the prophets, because the prophets really are the ones who are the greatest sort of voice of the Old Testament in Advent, that they had deep, deep longings, and the promises that they spoke of were attached to longings that were so much a part of the way in which they interpreted all of reality. And it must have been amazing. I mean, I always think when I listen to this verse, I think of Simeon in the temple in Luke's gospel, where he takes the child in his arms, you know. And, I mean, he is like at the last end of this long line of Old Testament saints who have been longing to see this day. And he takes Jesus in his arm at 40 days old and says, you know, Lord, let us know that your servant depart in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people. You know, and here he is. He's holding in his arms, you know. I mean, and it doesn't seem like glory. It doesn't seem like what we would expect it to seem, but it is. It is the Lord. And the promises have been kept, and God has kept his word.
Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. On this Friday afternoon, December the 7th, we're studying the Advent hymn, Let the Earth Now Praise the Lord. When we come back, a little bit more on stanza 2, and then we'll move on to stanza 3. Stay tuned.
This lovely Christmas hymn comes from a 2-CD set titled Lutheran Service Book Hymns and Services. We'll send you this resource of 26 hymns for any sized year-end donation to Issues Etc. You can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and mail it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible online contribution at issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support at the end of 2012. The faith once for all delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilk, and Dr. Arthur Just is our guest on this Friday afternoon. It's the Advent hymn, Let the Earth Now Praise the Lord. One quick thought here on stanza 2. There again is that theme of longing, but when it says stands fulfilled in glory here, could this be, in essence, the song of praise that the shepherds are singing when they go to witness the birth of the Christ child?
I think it very well could. I mean, there are a number of lines in this hymn, and we'll come across them as we go through, where there's sort of a delicious ambiguity about what their meaning is. And I think this one is one of them. You know, I mean, I struggled a little bit to what that means, what they long for many a year stands fulfilled in glory here. I think that there is a sense that you know, the glory in excelsis and the glory of the angels, if we're talking about the birth of Christ, is certainly in play there. But if this is a kind of a Lucan gospel sort of thing, you know, that glory is also what is spoken of by the children of Israel as Jesus enters Jerusalem. It's glory in heaven and peace, you know, and there is a sense of there being, you know, a standing there in glory, both in birth and in death, and that his death is the sort of the entrance into glory, which is, of course, a great theme of John's gospel. So there are a number of things going on here, and I think you could very well be right that this has a direct reference to the shepherds at the birth of Jesus.
Stanza 3, Abram's promised great reward, Zion's helper, Jacob's Lord, him of twofold race behold, truly came as long foretold. Dr. Just, what is that hymn of twofold race?
Well, that's one of the verses. I was hoping you might have the insight into that. You know, I thought about this a lot, and there are three references there. You know, Abraham, Zion, and Jacob, and that seems to be, you know, what the twofold race may be referring to. You know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are the patriarchs, and Zion is David, the king. And, you know, Zion is where David's, you know, throne is going to be, and it's the city of David, and it's Jerusalem. And I think what the twofold race might be is the fact that the Messiah comes from the patriarchs and from the kings, you know, both of whom, of course, are related if you look at the genealogies of Matthew and Luke. There also may be, and this would be, I think, another possibility, is that what he's really talking about is that out of Abraham's loins, you know, through Jacob and through David, the Savior is going to be a Savior of Jews and Gentiles, that is, of all people. And so this is in a sense, not just simply a Jewish Messiah, but this is the Messiah of the universe, the cosmos. But I maybe you had some thoughts on this, Todd, that you know, might help flesh that out a little bit.
Well, the only problematic word there is race, because he seems to be talking about the human race or races of humankind. Otherwise, I'd think it would fit nicely with the twofold nature of the one Christ.
Yeah, no, that's true. That could very well be, and I hadn't thought of that. But I mean that could be and that certainly fits the fact that you know, the birth of Jesus and Christmas and the hopes of Advent are focused in Jesus becoming flesh, God and man.
One more quick question on that. It says truly came, and that seems to be an issue in the Gospels. Is this truly the one? Has he truly come? Is this truly the Messiah? And his opponents in the end conclude, no.
No.
Your thoughts there.
And that word in the Greek, it oftentimes translated, is also translated that this is indeed the one. This is the one who is indeed the Messiah. And I think that you're absolutely right. They, as I said, at the time of Jesus, there were so many messiahs that people were looking for. And they had different expectations. And every time one would come up and they'd be disappointed, you know, they would say, this is not the true Messiah. And, you know, when they say at the day of resurrection, he is risen indeed, truly, that is the final affirmation that he is the one who has been promised and has come to do everything that needed to be done and has shown that he is the Messiah by being raised from the dead.
Here stanza 4 of Let the Earth Now Praise the Lord. Welcome, O my Savior, now. Hail, my portion, Lord, art thou. Hereto in my heart I pray, O prepare thyself a way. Dr. Just, it's a common theme in Advent hymnody that it is Christ comes, and they talk about the historic coming of Christ, and then often this transition is made to Christ entering the believer's heart. What do you make of it?
Well, I think it follows the biblical pattern. And, I mean, one of the great moments in Galatians that I teach regularly here at the seminary is in chapter 4, there's that wonderful parallelism, how God sent his son into the world. There he's, the Savior coming, born of a woman, born under the law in order to redeem those who are under the law. I mean, that's the great incarnational moment. And then God sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And there is Jesus in a same sort of, invasive way. He invades the world in the incarnation and becomes flesh. But he invades us too and becomes flesh in us by his Spirit, And I love that statement, Abba, Father. The first thing we say after Jesus comes to us in holy baptism is we speak to the Father who is now our true Father, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We can now acknowledge our Father and then pray the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven. So they are in line with not just hymnody and kind of language and themes of Advent, but language and themes of the Scriptures. Christ comes into the world, and he comes to us. And both of them are Advents. I mean, he is coming again, too. And those who are, incorporated into him will be ready for him when he comes again, that threefold coming. He came. He is here now among us, and he will come again.
King of glory, enter in, cleanse it from the filth of sin, as thou hast so often done. It belongs to thee alone. Dr. Just, this fifth stanza picks up on the last line of the fourth stanza, O prepare thyself a way, and it talks about repentance, but it talks about repentance as Christ's work in us.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. I was going to say it too. These two stanzas go together, and we didn't talk about preparing thyself a way. That's John the Baptist language. And it's language that is so deeply embedded in the Christian experience. It's the language of pilgrimage. It's the language of journey. And the way is the way to Jerusalem, and the way to the center of our beings is to recognize that we are people for whom he has died. That the Jerusalem that Jesus entered into in order to sacrifice himself for the sins of the world, that sacrifice is in us. And yet what we do is we invite him not as simply the crucified Lord, but the crucified Lord who is now the King of glory, that he has triumphed from the grave. This is the wonderful thing about our faith, is that he is always the crucified Lord, but he is also the crucified and resurrected Lord. And so in the crucifixion, we see that he is made a king. This is the King of the Jews. And it is in his crucifixion that we see God revealing to us his glory. And so that's what we're inviting in, is the crucified and resurrected Lord. And that Lord is the cleanser. I mean, he forgives us. The the essence of being a Christian, the essence of, you know, for us, a Lutheran Christian, is that we are cleansed of our sins, the purification of sins that we also use, you know, call forgiveness. That is at the heart of our faith.
Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. It's Friday afternoon, December the 7th. We're studying the Advent hymn, Let the Earth Now Praise the Lord. He's professor of New Testament and chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. You can find out more about all of these books, all of his works, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, we're going to look at stanza 6, and when Christ enters the heart, he not only does that house cleaning, that is repentance and the forgiveness of sins, but he comforts that desponding heart. We'll pick up there right after this.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love of truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota. Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado. And Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In the 1500s, the Reformers grieved over the view people had of their callings in life, believing work done for the church superior to work done anywhere else. So the Reformers worked to restore a proper balance. But as it's written in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. 600 years later, with the thought of everyone a minister, haven't we gone back? The CLCC has released a new seminar on the doctrine of vocation, an important Lutheran teaching that has fallen into disuse over the years. The solution is to start teaching it once again. The seminar contains four lessons, with a standalone overview lesson available for circuit convocations. Serving our neighbors through our vocations is essential for the task of evangelism practiced according to Scripture. Contact us to schedule your seminar today at theclcc.org. That's theclcc.org. And please, consider joining the CLCC or making a donation to help us bring these powerful but low-cost seminars to the laity. TheCLCC.org.
Glass and cloth, wood and stone will cry out to the next generation. This is what we have believed. This is Christ, our Savior, and yours.
From the moment of conception, you've got a human being, and that human being deserves legal protection. Unfortunately, that doesn't exist in the United States at the present time, and this is just damnable.
Our heroes from that age were probably not as heroic as, you know, we would have liked them to be. Well, guess what? That's the history of the church from St. Paul down to today.
there's a kind of a Mary and a Martha story happening with us. And Advent puts us where Jesus says the good part is.
In about an hour from now, we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week, four soundbites that you will hear in their entirety. We'll play them, and then it's your job to listen and to vote. Your vote determines which will be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week and your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package. And I have Issues T-shirt and Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, and bumper sticker, and the Issues Etc. Lutheran Public Radio mouse pad. That's in about an hour from now. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest, and we're studying the Advent hymn, Let the Earth Now Praise the Lord. Dr. Just, this is stanza 6. Comfort my desponding heart, thou my strength and refuge art. I am weak, and cunningly Satan lays his snares for me. Dr. Just, what is the hymn writer talking about here?
Well, it's interesting at this point that he comes to this, and I referenced this a little bit earlier, that longing that we have and that waiting can sometimes become a malaise that turns into despondency, and we begin to drift away. Our weakness, you know, takes over. We begin to lose faith, and it's because, you know, we don't see what we've been promised. You know, our faith just doesn't, it wants to see more, it wants more affirmation. And, you know, I mean, that word despondent, you know, you certainly feel that way in our part of the world at this time of year. It's dark, it's rainy, it's cold, you know, and we need to be kind of uplifted, and the lifting up comes from the strength and refuge of God. It's interesting too that he brings in Satan at the end, because Satan uses that despondency, that malaise, that drifting away, and that's how he enters, you know, and really in a sense can snatch us away from our Savior. And so Advent is a time where we listen carefully to the prophets, and we let them hold up our arms like they held up the arms of Moses and Aaron, you know, in the Old Testament. You know, this way it's not us holding the prophets, but the prophets holding us. And singing hymns like this does that. That singing these hymns are the way in which God, you know, comforts our despondent heart.
Can you talk briefly about that very Lutheresque way of praying against the devil?
Well, you know, it really comes from Jesus, you know, where, you know, you get into the Lord's Prayer, you know, deliver us from the evil one, and where you defy him, you know, that's what you always have to do with Satan. You know, you have to take God's word and throw it back in his face. He hates it, and he hates the prophecies. He hates the fact that those prophecies are brought to fulfillment. He hates it when we sing, because singing is a sign of joy and a sign of the presence and a sign that we believe what we have hope for. And I think, you know, that throwing it back at Satan is exactly the right thing. It's the only thing you can do. You certainly can't allow him to be somebody who you play footsies with, that you just sort of cuddle up next to, or that you become so weak by your despondency that you're just a very easy target for him.
The seventh stanza of Let the Earth Now Praise the Lord. Bruise for me the serpent's head, that set free from doubt and dread, I may cleave to thee in faith, safely kept through life and death.
Save me, Lord, through my prayer.
I'm intrigued by the fact that the hymn writer says, bruise for me the serpent's head in the present tense, whereas, of course, we know that this is fulfilled at the cross. What do you think he's saying?
Well, you know, this is another example of the two verses going together, and he ends with Satan lays his snares for me. And you know, in a way, what it says is that the atonement of Jesus for us is ongoing. It's constantly being, you know, laid upon us. My good colleague David Scare said this in class many years ago when I was a seminary student. You know, when we were talking about, you know, whether or not we get holier, and he, I remember he said, no, the fact of the matter is, what we get is we get more and more aware of our sin, of our brokenness, of our need for a Savior. And the fact that, and he didn't put it this way, but I think this is what he meant, that we need to beg God every day to let the blood of Jesus flow over us, his blood purify us. And in doing that, what he's doing is he is bruising for me the serpent's head. So the atonement has to be an ongoing reality. The blood of Jesus needs to be something that happens for us every day, every hour. That's what it means to be in the state of forgiveness, to let Jesus forgive, to let Jesus purify and cleanse. I also love the fact that he takes the desponding heart and he phrases it as doubt and dread. And that's what happens, you know, and to be set free from that. And we're set free by faith. You know, and faith is a condition in which we, despite all the things that appearances before us, faith tells us that, in fact, God is doing what he promised, that he is the one who will, and I think there's an echo here of Psalm 23, he will lead us through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, that we will be kept on that pilgrimage, on that way, because he is in our hearts. He has taken his residence there. We are joined to him, and he is joined to us. That's what Christmas is all about.
With only about 30 seconds, he bruises the serpent's head for me. It's not my job to do that. Talk about that.
That's exactly right. I mean, we can't do that. That's the whole point. And we get into most trouble. We actually can begin to go down the road of unbelief into a kind of a works righteous, you know, I can cooperate with God or I can accomplish my own salvation, if we don't recognize that it's all by grace, you know, free and liberating grace that frees us and liberates us to be able to say, Jesus, you are the only one who can bruise for me the serpent's head.
The eighth and final stanza of Let the Earth Now Praise the Lord. And when thou dost come again, as a glorious king to reign, I with joy may see thy face, freely ransomed by thy grace. Dr. Jess, I know that this last stanza is dealing with the final appearance of Christ, but you started our conversation talking about that appearance of Christ on Emmaus when the disciples saw his face in that very particular way. Take us back to Emmaus and talk about how that's the condition of the church here now before Christ finally appears.
Well, you know, that moment at Emmaus is when you have that extraordinary climax in Luke's gospel, and it, I mean, this is the moment when, you know, you've been waiting for it for 24 chapters, where a human being finally sees Jesus as the crucified and risen Lord, and they see him in faith. And when they see him, you know, they recognize him, and then he becomes invisible from them. And it's not like he just sort of kind of just completely like poof, but he drifts away from them because they're not going to see him that way. He's not going to be at the table with them, you know, showing them his hands and his feet. He is going to be with them in the promises, in the word that he has truly kept. He's going to be with them in the waters of holy baptism, and in the supper of his body and blood, that you know, when we see the Lord there in, with, and under these means of grace, this is what makes us ready to receive him when he comes again in glory. And that's what this last verse does. It takes us to that third and final Advent, when the Lord comes again. And Advent is really, in a sense, about preparing not so much for Christmas, but for the final, you know, sort of Christmas, you know, where the Lord comes in his glory to take us to be with him forever. And it's wonderful that what we will have when we see him is joy.
Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. When we come back, we'll hear the entire Advent hymn, Let the Earth Now Praise the Lord, and we'll get Dr. Just's final thoughts.
This is Pastor Tyler Arnold at Christ Lutheran in Platte Woods, Kansas City, Missouri. We are privileged to serve our Lord in word and sacrament through the historic liturgies of the church. Do join us for divine service at 8 and 10:45 and adult Bible study and Sunday school at 9:30. Each Wednesday evening we have Vespers at 7 p.m. Our address is 6700 Northwest 72nd Street, or call us at 816-741-0483. You can find us on the web at ChristLC.net. Come and be our guest at and with Christ.
Thank you, Todd, and thanks for everything you do.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on the value of issues, etc.
You've done so much to teach so many people about the depth of the gospel and to find joy in the Christian life and experience.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, issues, etc. Listen to what you want, when you want, at issuesetc.org.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, is a quarterly publication for the Confessional Lutheran, and they have a special 20th anniversary CD. This CD contains every issue of Logia for the last 20 years. It's a PDF file with search capabilities and bookmarks. This special anniversary CD is an excellent addition to your theological library. You can pre-order it for just $40. That's 50 cents per issue. Find out more at logia.org, logia.org.
A Savior Who is Christ the Lord, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
This child's soft infant flesh will one day be the sacrifice that pays for our sins.
And for any size year-end donation, we'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon preached by Todd on the Confession of Peter. You can make a year-end online gift today at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're studying the Advent hymn, Let the Earth Now Praise the Lord, on this Friday afternoon, December the 7th. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. Folks, hymn studies like this, they are an Issues Etc. staple. Now, if you appreciate them, please consider making a special Advent contribution to support this worldwide outreach. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. Send it to Issues Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, Issues Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org. And for any sized year-end donation, we will send you the CD, Lutheran Service Book, Hymns and Services, and a CD of a Christmas sermon and a Confession of St. Peter sermon preached by me. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support at the end of 2012. Dr. Just, before we hear the entire hymn, a simple question. What does the church do as it awaits the final appearing of Christ?
What we do in Advent is we receive the gifts that Christ brings. And it's in those receiving of those gifts, the gifts that come from his flesh, the gifts that come from hearing his word and receiving his body and blood, that we are forgiven of our sins, that we are brought into communion with Christ and all of heaven itself. And essentially what we do is we you know, have a foretaste of the heavenly feast and a participation in it even now as we wait for him to come and take us to that final banquet hall. And so it's simply just sort of doing what we've been doing all along, is coming to the feast. You know, that this is the feast of victory, and it is the feast that allows us, you know, to be ready and to be receiving him in joy when he comes again in glory.
Here is Capella of Concordia University Chicago with the Advent hymn, "Let the Earth Now Praise the Lord." Dr. Just, your final thoughts on the Advent hymn, "Let the Earth Now Praise the Lord."
During the Advent season, as we make our way to Bethlehem, many people are very despondent. Christmas, as we've all heard many times, is a sad time for many people. They have expectations of family and kind of the joy of the past and of their childhood, and life may not have, you know, been as fair to them as they thought, or things just haven't gone the way they thought, and, you know, suicides are up. It can be a very despondent time. And one of the things the church does at this time is to on first things and to focus on last things. And they're the same. To focus on the babe of Bethlehem, to focus on the thing that this hymn is all about, that promises have been kept, that God has been faithful to his word, and that he has brought us all together into a community of faith that can sing these hymns of praise, because we know that, in fact, we have been freely ransomed by his grace. The end of Luke's gospel is the disciples returning to the temple with great joy. This is after Jesus had ascended into heaven. Joy is one of the great themes of Luke's gospel, and joy is the great theme of Christmas, because Christmas is the season of joy over the fact that our Savior has come to us, and that he has come to us in a child, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. It is that child who freely ransoms us by his grace, by giving up his life for us, by showing us in the cross how much he really loves us. As one hymn writer said, love caused your incarnation. Love brought you down to me. And that is really what the season of Christmas is all about. The fact that Christ loves us so much that he would be born as a baby for us and then die for us on the cross of Calvary. This is the season where the joy culminates in our hope of the resurrection, where Jesus is there as the one who has conquered death by his death. And so we rejoice in the babe of Bethlehem, born to die and rise again.
Dr. Arthur Justice, professor of New Testament and chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ and the Divine Service. Dr. Jess, thank you for your time, and I pray that you and yours have a blessed remainder of the Advent season.
As well to you and all your listeners, Don.
In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. this Friday afternoon, Father Robert Sirico is going to join us. He has written a new book called Defending the Free Market, A Moral Case for a Free Economy. Abandoning some of the political ideas and the purely market-driven models, we need to think of our economy, we need to think of our place in it and our free society in moral terms, and we'll do that in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. Then, of course, as we often do on Friday afternoons, we've got Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week to play with you. We'll play those four soundbites, and then we'll ask you to call, email, send us a tweet, or visit our Facebook fan page and pick Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. That Twitter address, at issuesetc. And our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week in the last half hour of this Friday afternoon's Issues, Etc. Think about that. How truly faithful God has been to his word. That's what the Old Testament is. It is the testimony of God's enduring and never-ending faithfulness to his promise. It's all about God making promises and keeping them. Now, it is also about how those to whom God had made those promises often failed to believe them, often failed to even heed them in the first place. And yet, in the midst of their unfaithfulness, and of course the Old Testament is a pretty dirty record of their unfaithfulness, God remains faithful to his word. And of course the church is no different. We occupy no different place except on the other side of the fulfillment of those promises in Christ's incarnation, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. And we are no more faithful than they were, believe me. But God remains as faithful as he was leading up to Christ's incarnation, death, and resurrection. He remains as faithful to us as he was to them. His promises remain true. He will not allow them to fall. He will not allow them to fail. He will keep them. And so we await, just as our Old Testament counterparts did, the coming of the Christ, the coming of the Savior, the coming of the Messiah. We have seen him already come once, And we've seen how God has been faithful to those promises in that first coming. From the manger, to the cross, to the grave, until that grave stands empty and Christ alive for us forevermore, we know that that crucified and risen and living Christ will, as he promised, remain faithful to that promise and return again. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour two of Issues Etc. in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
We're doing our best to keep you informed on the current financial status of Issues Etc. We have 4 weeks left in 2012, and we're $50,000 short of making budget this year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can make an online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. Send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.